and welcome to the program. I'm not 100% sure what episode this one's going to be, but it just may be number 500. And even if it isn't, it's going to be a good one because this is an interview that I did with Suzzy Roach on my program, The Catskills Cafe, on WYOX Community Radio. I could not get the entire interview in because of the one-hour time restriction here on Mostly Folk, but I put in the parts, hopefully, that you will definitely enjoy. So here's my interview on the Catskills Cafe with Suzzy Roach. I have a special guest with me today, and that is Suzzy Roach. And if you don't know Suzzy, you're going to know a lot about her over the next hour or so. She and her daughter Lucy have just recorded a brand new album that was released only this past Friday. And I want to read something that I picked up from, I'm not sure the source, but let me read this. I can still hear you. Conceived out of a personal loss and turmoil, arrives at a time of global loss and turmoil. The 11 thought-provoking tracks explore themes of good, evil, youth, morality, the absurd, the serious, the real, and the imagined, and the connection between what is present and what is gone. Each of their albums together have documented a specific time, and this one, according to Suzzy, probably is the darkest, but at the same time, it's the most fanciful too. This time, there seemed to be an extra urgency about it. I'm Artie Martello, and welcome to Mostly Folk.
Remember the words or the parts that you saved, or carousel horses, or how the summer behaves, or off in the distance, remember me too, 'cause I can still hear you. From all of the people below and above, to all of the things we need to be careful of, from that was a near miss to where do I sign this? I can still hear you.
Go. Just a great, great song to start this album off. And I'm so happy that I have Suzzy Roach with me here today. Hi, Suzzy. How you doing?
Hi. Great to see you.
So good to have you. It's kind of special to have you on the program today. And maybe it's as a result of this new album. So I have a million things I want to talk to you about. But let's start off with how this album came about. For those of you that don't know Suzzy, she is one third of what used to be the Roaches. And the way I look at it, the Roaches to me were the quintessential three-part harmony trio. And so many followed, but you guys were the very first, really, that nobody could compare to. I'll play some things later on from the Roaches, but right now we are concentrating on this new album. And please explain to folks how this all came about. I know that parts of it were written and recorded during the quarantine. And why don't you tell the story?
Well, we started making the record in February in Nashville, the end of February. We were down there for about a week. And as we were driving home, we were planning to go to Nashville and then come back and forth from Nashville. But as we were coming home, it became clear that there was going to be a huge change.
On his way to school, a place he didn't want to go. He lagged behind his brother and his brother's best friend. The boy passed by an apple tree, stopped at the garden bed. Flower faces stared at him, yellow, purple, black, and red.
So mean to do the things
got back to New York, you know, all the shutdown started to happen here. And, you know, it was really bad here. So that was a very dark, horrible time for the whole city, I think. And so it was really hard to continue making the record in the face of all of that. And it, a lot of the time it seemed like we weren't going to be able to finish it. So I'm really happy that we did get to finish it.
Well, it's a great album. I can't wait for people to hear the entire album. Let's go back to that song I just played, because I think it's kind of an interesting song. But these lyrics are just interesting. Tell me about that tune. Now, this is a song. The first song, I Can Still Hear You, was a song written by Lucy. Am I right?
Yes.
And this one, of course, was yours. But it's a very interesting song. You say it's kind of a fable. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, this little boy is going to school and he sees this flower garden and he likes it. But then he goes in and destroys it. Yeah. And he doesn't really understand why he's doing that. And then in the song, the woman who planted the garden comes along and she talks about how everything is died now and ruined. And but she knows that if you try to make something, it can be destroyed. And so it's sort of the story, a little fable of these two characters, this little boy and this old woman, and how their lives cross paths.
How was it recording this with Lucy? I know you guys have recorded together before, but certainly during this strange time, as you said, you traveled down, you came back, and the virus was upon us. Well, some of this was recorded at home?
Yes, all of the singing was done up here in our bedrooms, in our separate,
get away.
In Brooklyn, and me in New York and in Manhattan. Uh-huh. And I would sing and send it to her, and she would sing and send it to me. And I had to really learn how to be an engineer, you know. And also, I put a lot of guitar parts down during that time. But it was so odd to be singing that way because, you know, we're used to singing together. So,
right.
You know, and also because of everything that was happening, you know, in the city at that time, it was just, on the one hand, it was great to have something to work on, but it was also such a frightening, dark, bleak time, you know, that the city was totally empty and quiet, and except for 7 o'clock when everyone leaned out their windows and cheered.
right.
And of course, all of the protests were happening and then the looting and all of that was happening. And, you know, it was just like, wow, is this the end of the world? And, you know, should you really bother making a record, you know?
Exactly. And of course, we're not out of the woods yet. We're going to have to see what happens over the next month or so. But goodness knows there's so many variables happening right now. And it's kind of it's just an interesting time that we live in. So I'm speaking with Suzy Roach, and Suzy and her daughter Lucy Wainwright Roach have just released an album just 2 days ago. And by the way, Suzy, where can people pick up the album if they want to get it?
Oh, well, you can go to SuzzyandLucy.com.
Okay.
And you can get a signed copy from us if you go there. But if, because we do it, we pack them all up and we send them out and stuff. But if you can also get them on the other places where people get records, which I don't even know what that is anymore.
yeah, there's all of these other things. But I always tell people, go to the artist's website and get it there. Now, you have an extra special treat because you're sending out signed copies. So that's a really neat thing for folks. So if anybody wants to pick up the album, all you have to go to is go to... Now, they each have individual websites, and they have this one site together. Say it again, Suzzy.
Yes, SuzzyandLucy.com.
Very simple. Suzzy with two Z's and Lucy.com. Let me ask you this. This is always, I want to ask you a little bit about your family and growing up, but where did the name Suzzy come from? I mean, when one looks at it, it's you would think it's Susie. But how did Suzzy? Well, did your parents name you that, or did this pick up somewhere along the road?
Well, no, my it's confusing because my mother wanted me to be named Susanna, S-U-Z-A-N-N-A, but it was misprinted on the birth certificate, so. Then the story goes that when I was just 3 months old, it was the first Christmas, and my grandfather apparently wrote on a Christmas stocking, instead of Susie, he wrote Suzzy with two Z's, and that's how I got my name.
How do you like that?
I've been called many things, like Scudsy and... and Scoozy and things like that. like a boy named Sue, you know.
That is funny. Of course, and there is a song that you guys did, the Roaches did, I think it was The Death of Susie Suzzy Roach or something to that effect, on yeah. One of your albums. As a matter of fact, I think I even have it here, but we're not focusing on that one today. Once again, I'm speaking with Suzzy Roach, most famous as one of the Roaches. Now, you're the younger of the three Roaches. And of course, Maggie was the oldest, and then came Terry 3 years later, and then was it two years later, and then you 3 years after that. So I think Maggie and Terry began out singing together. And you joined later on, fortunately for the Roaches, because the harmonies are, as I said before, incomparable. And if you guys who are listening don't know the Roaches, you owe it to yourself to find some music. I may play something a little bit later on. Of course, the Hallelujah Chorus is probably the Roaches' most known tune, and you could actually find videos of it. There's also a video of it on Saturday Night Live that you did years ago that I find, if you Google the Roaches and the Hallelujah Chorus, you'll find that video. What amazes me, and maybe you could fill people in, is how on earth did you rehearse for something like that? How did you put something like that together? The multiple harmonies and intricate harmonies. What does it take to do something like that?
Well, we worked hours and hours and hours on every song, and we never really wrote anything down. So it was just sitting in the room together, figuring out all the parts. Wow. And, you know, it was painstaking, and we didn't have a lot of formal training on composition or anything like that. So I think that's one of the reasons that it sounds unusual, because it was sort of just something that we made up.
Yeah, well, it's more than unusual. It's absolutely amazing.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Roaches had a really good run. You recorded a lot of albums. Then the group kind of split up for a while. I think Maggie and Terry went out and did some stuff on their own. You were doing some individual recording. What happened there to the group?
You know, one of the things that happened was that our father died. And I think that sort of threw everybody, you know, very deeply. I don't think we, you know, it was the first real, you know, major loss for us. And, you know, I think it just kind of rocked the boat. And I think there's that, famous line, you know, the center could not hold, you know. And I think we just had spent so many years together making so many sacrifices in order to keep it going, because it required an enormous amount of time and energy to rehearse and keep everything, not just figure everything out, but get so that you could perform it and then go on the road and do it. And so I think we just all needed a break from each other. And, you know, I think it's pretty natural that, you know, things would evolve, you know.
Well, they certainly evolved positively right now, being that you and Lucy are doing an album together that I know is going to top the folk charts next month. It just being released, it's got a whole month to sit there and get played by various DJs around the country. And as I said, it will definitely be up there, if not at the very top of the folk charts. So this new album, once again, is called I Can Still Hear You. It is Suzzy Roach and Lucy Wainwright Roach. Now, there are 11 tracks on this album. We're going to try to play a number of them while I have Suzzy with us. This one kind of struck me because you say in your notes to me that when you get to be a certain age, people start dying. I know this as well as anybody, having just, I will turn 77 on December 15th. It makes you sad, you say, and humble and full of wonder. And you have the Indigo Girls playing with you on this one. Am I right?
Emily and I both played guitar parts for it. And so what we did was we combined Emily's part and my part so that it's one part, which is kind of cool.
Oh, very cool. So the name of this song is I Think I Am a Soul. couple of old souls from the album I Can Still Hear You, and that was I Think I Am a Soul, written by Suzzy Roach. Let me ask you this. We kind of touched on it, but your upbringing, your family, your mom and dad, what was it that they begat three incredible singing voices? What was the influence there?
Well, I don't really know. One thing is Maggie and Terry and I shared a room when we were younger, and we didn't really have a lot of opportunities to watch TV. We weren't allowed to really. And so we spent a lot of time in the room just making things up and singing songs. I mean, we listened to the radio all the time. And as you'll remember, the radio then was, right. You know, so varied. You heard so many different kinds of music on one radio station. And so it was all, you know, very stimulating. And we also sang in choirs and things like that. And my brother, who also is a great singer and mm-hmm. player, I don't really know. I guess they sort of encouraged us to sing and stuff like that. My father used to write songs for us to stand up. He'd write one verse for each of us, and we'd have to stand up in front of relatives and sing them and stuff. I think the relatives were all kind of rolling their eyes.
What did your parents do?
My father was sort of he was a teacher. He taught people how to speak. A lot of people who in underserved neighborhoods and had trouble learning how to read and stuff like that. So he devised an entire reading program.
Wow.
Yeah, he was amazing. And I used to go with him. All of us used to go with him to schools. And, you know, he had this training program, and we would sort of help do it. It was amazing. And my mother was a writer, and she also was a copywriter and worked, as a copywriter, but also really mostly my mother was a poet and as a matter of fact, when she died, she was 94, and that year she was the poet laureate of her town.
Wow, that is amazing. And I guess some of that rubbed off on you, because you have a couple of books that you've written, and you also have taught. Talk about some of that.
Yeah, well, I have I just actually have a new novel that I wrote, which happens to have been released right at the same time as this record. So it's kind of strange timing, especially in the middle of the pandemic where you can't go on the road or anything
really,
like that.
Really.
But it's great. You know, it's called The Town Crazy. And writing a novel is a whole journey and something I never really thought I would do. But I've done it twice now. And that's a real mysterious process. And it's just a wonderful feeling to have it be published.
Amazing. And you also did a children's book also, right?
Yeah, I did.
So you're an accomplished person in so many areas, writing. And where was it? You're part of a theater group. You've acted in various shows. And I do believe, I forget the name of the group that you're a part of, but...
It's called the Worcester Group.
Yes, okay.
They're here in New York City, and they're world-renowned. I've actually traveled all over the world with them. And, they're a very avant-garde theater, experimental theater group. And that has been a major source of inspiration to me all my life, and just how to keep working. You know, it's not easy to keep it going, you know, especially because most of the time you're just making something out of nothing. And not like the world really needs it. You know, I mean, I think people do need music, but especially like in a time like this where the essential workers, you know, it's obvious that musicians are, you know, going to be the last to be able to come back after this whole thing. So.
Right. Yeah. Every single musician I speak with, everybody's doing different things, Zoom, Facebook concerts and things like that to try to, you know, earn a buck because, and, hey, let's face it, it's hard to earn anything in this field as is unless you're a major star. And the people that are struggling to let people hear their music have it even harder during this lockdown thing. So, you know, it's nice. But, you know,
the other thing, I mean, yes, the losing your entire income and, you know, is a huge thing. And but so many people have lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. So it's not, doesn't make it easier, but we're all sort of in the same boat. But there is something special about traveling around and singing for people. You have a very unique relationship with the people who like to come to your shows. And it's really heartbreaking to not be able to be out on the road.
Yeah. And, no, I understand totally. It's, you know, how do you're doing this by yourself. You're not getting that feedback from the audience. And it's really difficult. It's going to be over, though. Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that it's going to come to an end. Our lives will probably never be the same again, but there will be maybe in some respects we'll get back to parts of what used to be. Let me ask you this. Again, I'm speaking with Suzzy Roach, and Suzzy just recorded an album with her daughter. Her father is Loudon Wainwright III, and you and Loudon lived together for a while. Let me ask you why you never recorded with him. Or did you? That I don't know about.
We've done some singing together on some of his records. And actually Lucy and I and Loudon were supposed to do a tour of England this September, you know, which got canceled, and now it's postponed till next year. We'll see if that holds. But we do a lot of concerts together, and we, you know, Loudon and I have remained very, very good friends. Yeah. You know, we're sort of soulmates. I think he wouldn't mind me saying that.
And, that's fantastic. And I want you to do an album, the three of you together. I think that would be a fantastic album. Think about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting any younger, so the time is wasting away. Now, I know that you spent a great deal of time with Maggie when she passed away. Well, tell me about that experience.
Well, Maggie was, had been sick for quite some time, and she didn't tell anybody. And I was very close with Maggie for all, you know, all the time, and we lived blocks away from each other. And she didn't tell me until 2 months before she died. It was just a shocking, shocking, sad, horrible thing that happened. And but luckily she did tell me, and I was able to spend you know, those last 2 months with her every day, and, you know, helping her through it.
There is a tune on here that you and Lucy collaborated on, and the song is called Get the Better. Can you talk about that one?
Yes, I wrote the lyrics to the song, and Lucy wrote the tune and also the chorus. And I wrote the lyrics right in the deepest, darkest part of the shutdown here in New York. And it was a very, you know, sort of dark time. And it was that writing that song was sort of like being in a dream. And it's a love song, you know, it's a very deep love song. And I'm not exactly sure who it's a love song to. But I think it speaks to the sort of mood of the shutdown.
She got a broken wing, running through a dream, a damsel in distress type thing. I thought that she escaped in the nick of time, but when I woke, I heard her singing. And I let her get the better of me. And I let her get the better of me. I asked her who she was. She said, I don't know. I'm broken in a couple ways. Lost my
Suzy Roach and Lucy Wainwright Roach with Get the Better from their brand new album just released this past Friday. And the name of the album, I Can Still Hear You. I'm so happy to have you really join me today, Suzy. I'm just so struck by your incredible family. Just one after another. Not only you, your sisters, now your mother and your father enter into the picture, but also the half-brothers and half-sisters, the Wainwrights. It's just amazing how this one family has created such an array of incredible talent. Again, one of the reasons I'm so glad that I have you here today with me on the Catskills Cafe. And I also read that Lucy also taught elementary school, both in Durham, North Carolina, as well as New York City.
Yes, you know, right. That was before she started singing, and she was getting her master's degree during that time. And you know, the weirdest thing, the day she got her master's degree, Rufus called her up and said, "Meet me in at this such and such street, and come on the road with me, and get on the bus." And she did. And that was the beginning of her starting to sing, you know, professionally. And, you know, of course, my heart sank. I thought, oh my God, she's going to actually get a job. but, you know, she does have a very special, beautiful voice. Oh. And she's a great songwriter. And, you know, she's, you know, I guess it just kind of got in by osmosis. Yeah. But, you know, it's really tough for younger people who have built a career and then all of a sudden this happened. You know? So I worry about her now, and hopefully things will bounce back.
Well, you have to go where your heart is. And fortunately for Lucy, you know, she does have that to fall back on. There's a song on here called Swan, parentheses, duck song. And you say that you wrote that song in anticipation of the time that it would be the end of your creative life, which I can't imagine at all. But tell me about that and we'll play the tune.
Yeah, well, I had this little niggling idea that I should write a song called Swan Song, you know, as the end of everything. Because, you know, you get to a certain age and you're like, how much longer can I do this? but I didn't write it. I didn't write it. And then one day I just sat down and wrote that song in about, you know, 10 minutes. And of course, I really like it because it's not about the end. It's just about the changing. It's kind of a little bit of a fairy tale or a fable, something like that.
I went to the pond today looking for the swan, but the swan had turned into a duck. Tough case, bad luck. What happened to the long, smooth neck, elegance and grace? Bad case of duck face. Couple of feathers strewn across the grass. The duck looked up at me, afraid to ask, what happened? Say, well, something had to give. It's what happens when you live. Feathers come and feathers go. There's one thing you should know. Birds of a feather together flow. From now on, no swan will be your friend. You swim the muddy water with your two dark feet.
was no quack bat, no more duck. I turned my eyes up to the sky, thought I heard the song of a tiny bird singing good luck. The duck said, look at me, guess now I'm a hummingbird. You never really know what's next, on that I'll put my word. Remember when I swam the muddy water with my two duck feet, my strange new home didn't even recognize its beat.
Again, from a brand new album just released Friday, I Can Still Hear You, and you can pick up the album if you want to. There's 11 tracks on it. Of course, I couldn't play all of the 11 tracks during the time we're spending here with Suzzy, but you could once again go to, is it SuzzyandLucy.com or Lucy and Suzzy?
It's SuzzyandLucy.com.
Okay. So SuzzyandLucy.com is the place where you can go and find out more and order this album. And not only that, but you'll be able to get an autographed copy of the album. So I have one more thing, and then I'll let you go, Suzzy. The final song on the album, you chose to record Being Green. I'm just curious, why that one?
Well, that's a song that I love very deeply, and I've always wanted to record it. I wasn't sure if Lucy would go for it, but by that point, we realized that there were about 11 little creatures on the record already. In the songs, there are different, you know, there's a mouse, there's a couple of birds, there's a dog, of course, Being Green is about a frog, Kermit the Frog. And I think that song is very, very deep. You know, so many people have recorded that song, and it has great meaning. It's kind of childlike, perhaps, at first, but really it's about being different. And I certainly can relate to that. And it's also just a beautifully constructed song. And I don't know, I just love it. And I was
absolutely. It's one of the classic tunes. When I listen to it, Lucy is just a couple of years younger than my son, and I very vividly recall almost every single day being home with him when he was a kid, watching Sesame Street, watching Mr. Rogers, and you know that song is a special song for any parent, I would think, who grew up with their kids and Sesame Street. And you're right, it is a very deep song, a lot deeper than people would think.
Yeah, it's also very open-hearted and not cynical. And I think that's one of the things that seems to be missing these days. And I really, one of my hopes for making music at this point in my life is to offer, you know, open-hearted music that's there to not sugarcoat, but to comfort, you know, that sounds nice and that offers something hopeful.
Well, with that, I am going to leave you. And thank you so much for being with me here today. And hopefully one of these days we'll get to meet when this crazy thing passes us. And just stay safe, keep doing what you're doing, and get out on the road when it's over. It's going to be exciting. I'd love to see you and Lucy and Loudon out there together. Wow, what a show that would be.
Well, thanks a lot, Artie, for doing this, and thanks to everybody who is listening.
Thank you so much, Sazi. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaf. When I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not that easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many ordinary things, and people tend to pass you by 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like, and green can be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why. But why wonder, I am green and it'll do fine. It's beautiful and I think it's what I wanna be. Green's the color of spring, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why. But why wonder, I am green and it'll do fine. It's beautiful and I think it's what I want to be.
I want to thank Suzzy Roach for giving me the opportunity to chat with her. And I want to thank you for listening. And do hope that you join me, Artie Martello, for another episode of Mostly Folk.
Smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?